This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Are y'all ready to get into the Word today? All right, so I'm going to ask a question that probably about everybody's going to say yeah, but let me ask it anyway. How many of y'all have been hurt in the past by someone and you had a hard time getting over it? Amen. So we can get real. We've all probably been there at some point. Whenever you think about that person, what kind of thought runs through your mind? Is it a bless them, Lord? Or is it a not bless them, Lord? I mean, what kind of thought is it that runs through your mind whenever you think about that person? We've all been hurt, and I know some worse than others. I know some situations in this church that are very, very heavy. But what I'm finding is, and you've seen this before, that whenever you hold on to bitterness, it will so negatively affect your life. As y'all know, we have been in our Joseph series, and we're talking about how Joseph got to his destiny, and we're talking about how we can get to our destiny and all the character tests that Joseph had to go through. The truth is that we have to pass those same tests to get to our destiny. Some of you may be saying, Pastor Gene, are we ever going to get to our destiny in this series? I have some good news for you. Next week, we're doing what we call the purpose test, okay? So we're going to wrap this thing up next week. In case you didn't know, since Regina and I have been pastoring the church, this is the longest series we've ever done. Today, what we're talking about is the pardon test. The pardon test. Next week, purpose test. Make sure you're here for that because this is what we've been building up to, right, is the purpose test. But today is the pardon test. Now, as a reminder, Joseph's brother sold him as a slave whenever he was a teenager. Their initial thought process was, let's kill the kid, but they ended up selling him as a slave. And if you were Joseph, could you have forgiven those brothers? Obviously, God had a plan for Joseph, but here's the thing. The brothers didn't know that God had a plan for him. And so as far as the brothers knew, Joseph was going to be a slave for the rest of his life, right? So if you were Joseph, could you have forgiven him? Today, we're going to go to Genesis 50, and we're going to be in a period shortly after Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Now, to just kind of catch you up, of course, there's this famine that's going on in the land. Jacob, Joseph's father, tells his brothers, go to Egypt, buy some food. If not, we're going to starve. And so his brothers, they go, and there's a kind of a series of events that take place, but ultimately, Joseph reveals to his brothers, hey, it's me. And then he tells his brothers, he says, go get dad, go get your wives, go get the kids, move everybody here. You're going to have land. You're going to be taken care of. And so just bring the whole family to Egypt so that you'll have food and you won't have to worry about anything. So his family all comes down. And then Jacob eventually does die. That's Joseph's father. And that's where we're picking up today in verse 15. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Pharaoh, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. I think the only way that he was able to speak kindly to them was the fact that he had dealt with this issue in his heart already. He had already forgiven them. By the way, this is the first time you see the word forgive in the Bible. You're 50 chapters into the Bible before the word forgive ever appears, and it was right here. To forgive, it means to absolve fully or to release from penalty. Whenever you go to the definition of forgive, the Hebrew translation, which is the most commonly used translation in the word, is to lift up or to bear. Now let's think about this just for a minute. That's what Jesus did for us, right? He lifted our sins, he lifted our transgressions off of us, and he bore them himself, right? Amen. He bore them himself, and therefore it released us from the penalty and it absolved us fully. So how is it that we can do this? How is it that we can forgive people? Because this is a test, y'all, that truly we've got to pass. If we want to get to our destiny, we can't get there with a ton of bitterness. We can't get there with a ton of unforgiveness. This is a test that we're going to have to pass. And I know it can be hard, but again, as believers, we've got to get there. Many of y'all, because we know a lot of stories of what's happened to folks in this church, many of y'all have dealt with some serious things in your life. Physical abuse, emotional abuse. I mean, we've heard some stories, maybe a divorce that was the most horrific thing. We've heard some really heavy-duty stories. And I know in your mind you're thinking, Pastor Gene, it's going to be really hard for me to forgive that person. It may just be impossible for me to forgive that person. But let's see what the Word says today, because I think if we really look at what the Word of God says, I think we can get to that place to where we can forgive those who've hurt us. Amen? So today what I want to do is I want us to look at three words that we need to remember while we're walking through this pardon test. So are y'all ready to go today?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Number one, our first word that we want to look at is release. Everybody say release.
Release.
Now, in verse 15, whenever Jacob died, the brothers, they just assumed that Joseph was going to want to pay him back and try to get even with him because they sold him into slavery. And, you know, of course, they did treat him terribly, but they were thinking, Joseph wants to pay us back. Now, I used the ESV translation earlier for this just because it read a little bit easier than the New King James, but most translations will say that they sent messengers. It said they sent a message, but they sent messengers to Joseph to tell him what his father wanted. But I honestly feel like this whole thing that we read just a minute ago was a bit of a lie. Let's think about it just for a minute. Because they sent this messenger to Joseph and they said, this is what your father said. It's nowhere in Scripture. Secondly, why is it that Jacob wouldn't have had this talk with Joseph himself versus telling the brothers, right? We don't see any record of it in Scripture. But like, for instance, in verse 16, it says, they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, as if Joseph, this was dad's dying wish. You need to understand, this is what dad wanted more than anything. And they said, he commanded. They said that. Not Joseph, he asked. Joseph, your father commanded. You can kind of imagine, I don't know about y'all, but I'm imagining these brothers getting together, putting their heads together and conspiring this great story and sending some messengers to Joseph rather than going themselves and talking to him. Can we go ahead and just remember, they've already conspired in the past, have they not? So they had a little bit of a track record, right? So I can imagine them maybe getting together and saying, okay, listen, Joseph's going to try to pay us back. We need to like write out this message that dad supposedly said, let's send some messengers. Maybe he'll have pity on us, right? But it's funny. It said, now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God. Let's make it sound spiritual, right, brothers? Let's make it sound spiritual. Of your father. Let's talk about dad because Jacob loved Joseph so much and Joseph loved dad. So it's funny how they were wording this thing. Verse 17, it says, please forgive the trespass of your brothers, for they did evil to you. Think about this. They sent a message to Joseph and said, forgive them for they did evil, not we did evil. They never repented. In this whole story, those brothers never once repented. In fact, whenever it says later that they came and they fell down before him and they said, we are your servants, that's not repentance. That was them recognizing authority. Joseph was number two in Egypt. He could have had their heads on a platter if he wanted. But they said, we are your servants. Not one place did they repent. Have y'all ever noticed that there are some people, even Christians, who do not know how to apologize for anything? Can I go ahead and just tell you, saying I'm sorry for some people is so hard. It's like they can't take these two words and put them together. Let me tell you this, as believers, whenever we mess up, we need to just come out and own it. Because here's the thing, if you're like, I don't want to say those words. Okay, well, we need to go back to part one, to the pride test, and go through it all over again, because that's a pride issue whenever you can't admit that you're wrong. And these kiddos right here, they didn't want to admit that they were wrong. They didn't want to repent. But here's a question for you. Can you forgive someone who lies? Can you forgive someone who manipulates? Can you forgive someone who has never asked for forgiveness? Because, y'all, that's the pardon test that Joseph dealt with right here. Now, he said to his brothers, he said, am I in the place of God? He said that in verse 19. If we don't forgive, I want you to understand this. We put ourselves in the place of God. That's what we're doing. And that's why the Bible says in Leviticus 19, verse 18, it says, you shall not take vengeance. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And then Romans 12, 19, let's go New Testament with it. Dear friends, never take revenge. When should we take revenge? We shouldn't, right? Ever. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Can I tell you something? Release it and leave it to God. Just leave it with God. Release it. Let him deal with it. We're commanded not to take vengeance, because the word vengeance actually means, hear this, it means to bring justice to an unjust situation. That's what vengeance means. And so it's actually impossible for us to bring vengeance. And just hang with me for a minute. We can't bring justice to an unjust situation because we are not just. But there's a big difference between being justified and just. We got to understand that, right? We've been made justified by the only one just, according to the Word of God. So we can't bring vengeance. And if you live your life with unforgiveness, you're always going to be trying to vindicate yourself in every situation. And you're going to spend your life trying to prove something, that you were justified in what you did, rather than trying to please someone. We can't bring vengeance. Think about the person who maybe hurt you. Have you ever been to that place to where you have just dreamed of the day whenever you can tell them how you really feel? Can we get real today? Like, you've gone over it and over it. You've lost sleep. I mean, you have dreamed of the moment whenever you're going to be standing right there and you could just give them what in your mind is going to be right up there with the I Have a Dream speech by MLK. You're thinking, this thing right here is going to be one of the greatest speeches of all time. You just want to unload. You just want to tell them off. And you know what? We'll lose sleep over it. We'll get all stressed out over it. We're going to be miserable because we're constantly thinking about these people. But our lives would be so much better if we just forgave them and if we released them. It would be so much better if we would just release them. And the truth is this, is that if you're constantly going through this in your mind, you have never forgiven them. Don't tell me you have if you're constantly thinking about that situation. You have not released them. Amen? And just some more truth for you today is God's not going through your sins in his mind. That was so good. I'm going to say it again. You see, sometimes people, they do us wrong and we constantly are thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. But God's not doing that with us. He's not doing that with us. I mean, you know, he doesn't remind me, hey, Gene, remember whenever you said that thing that you shouldn't have said 2 weeks ago? Yeah. Well, I forgave you for it, but Gene, I just wanted to bring it back up. God doesn't do that. No, he forgives us. It's done with. And whenever we constantly bring it up, it just shows that we've not forgiven them. It shows that we've not released them. Number two, the word is receive. The word is receive. In Matthew 6, verse 12, this is part of the Lord's Prayer. Whenever Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray, and y'all will recognize this line here. It says, and forgive us our debts. Come on, everybody say it together. As we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debt as we forget our debtors. Now, has everybody at some point probably prayed this in their life? But let me tell you something that you may not know. Whenever you look at the word as there in that verse, that word actually means in the same way. And I kind of wish I would have known this before I ever started praying the Lord's Prayer. So it means, Lord, forgive me in the same way that I forgive others. Some of y'all just had an oh crud moment too, didn't you? You kind of wish you would have known this before you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive me in the same way that I forgive others, because we've been asking God to forgive us in the same way that we forgive people, but there's been a lot of people that we have refused to forgive. Lord, forgive us in the same way. Sounds like we got to get some things right, don't we? We got to get some things right. And so if we keep bringing up what somebody's done to us, if we keep thinking about that person who hurt us, you know, we've not forgiven them in the same way that God's forgiven us. We just haven't. Thankfully, he doesn't keep bringing up our sins. Aren't you so glad for that? Whenever you ask for forgiveness, it's done with. It's like he just wipes it right off the marker board. It's done with, and I'm so grateful for that. Now, here's the way we actually need to forgive, okay? This is how we can actually forgive. Jesus said this in Matthew 10, verse 8. He says, freely you have received. Freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, how many of us have freely received forgiveness? Every one of us. So as a result, we need to be able to freely give forgiveness. We need to be able to freely give it. But if you have a problem forgiving people, here's the thing. It probably goes back to you actually having a problem receiving forgiveness. If you can't give forgiveness, you may have trouble receiving forgiveness. Like if you feel in any way that you're paying for your sins, or if you ever feel like you're earning your forgiveness, what you'll do is you'll probably make others pay for what they've done to you or earn your forgiveness based on what they've done to you. But whenever we freely receive forgiveness, again, we can freely forgive. Amen. So just an example for you this morning. As y'all know, we were in Orlando for about a decade. I was born here, grew up here, and then we moved down there, then we came back. But whenever I was in elementary, I would come home during the summers, and summers were a whole lot different here than they were in Florida because, you know, I got to work in my grandparents' chicken houses. That was fun. Yeah. I got to perfect my pea picking skills. That was fun as well. And none of my friends in Florida knew what it was like to pick up a dead chicken in the morning in a chicken house, okay? Picking up the dead, whenever my grandpa said that, let's go pick up the dead. Can I just go home? You know, can I just go home? But part of what I would do when I was here was play with my cousins. Like Heather Berry's brother was, you know, a couple years older than me, and I have some other guy cousins. But a lot of times we might be in the woods out in our land in Smith County, and sometimes boys play rough, right? Sometimes boys play rough, and sometimes you might, I don't know, have a stick in your hand, and somehow you just completely, like, nail your cousin upside the head with the stick. And being in elementary, we still cry. At that age, we still cry. So a lot of times what one of us might do, and I remember doing this, it's like I hurt one of them, and I said, here, do that to me. Right? To make things right, take the stick, crack me upside the head, and then everything's okay. Do y'all remember doing that maybe as a kid? This will make everything right. Well, let me just say this to you. I think a lot of believers are living with the, here, take the stick and crack me upside the head mentality. Let's think about this just for a minute. For those people, if something bad happens to them, then they feel like, well, I had that coming. All right, yeah, I had that coming because I messed up. If they fail to read their Bible and they get a speeding ticket, they're like, all right, Lord, we're even now. You know I hadn't prayed this week. I know I hadn't been in my Bible. I get it. You got me back. Thank you, Lord. Now we're even. That's not the way God works. That's not God getting you back. You got that speeding ticket because you had a heavy foot. Okay? God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't operate that way. Having bad things happen in your life, it's not God getting you back. God's not ever going to get even with you, and I need you to hear me today because he's already gotten even with Jesus. Amen. Jesus took care of it for us. If you tend to think that way, you have difficulty receiving and giving forgiveness. So we need to freely receive his forgiveness. Our third word today is believe. Somebody say believe. Believe. Now, we're going to look at a bunch of scripture here, and then we're going to tie it all together. We're going to rapid fire some scripture here this morning. Psalms 103 verse 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's infinity. He's obliterated them, right? As far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Got it? All right, pop quiz for you. Pop quiz for you. First question, how far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us? As far as the east is from the west. Question number two, what did he do with the iniquity of us all? Really, seriously, y'all are cheating right now? I saw your eyes go up. I'm like, they're cheating right now. So question one, he's removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, right? And then what did he do with our iniquity? He laid it on him, right? Laid it on him. Habakkuk 1:13, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Wickedness here is the word sin, same word as sin. So his eyes are too pure to look on sin. Do y'all see that? Job 36:7, he does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. So he can't look at sin. The Lord can't look at sin, but he never takes his eyes off the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. So again, God can't look on wickedness. He can't look on sin, but he never withdraws his eyes from the righteous. Now, some of you may be seeing these scriptures this morning, and the thought that's running across your mind is I wish I was righteous. Maybe you're thinking that. Maybe you're thinking, I wish I was righteous, and God can't even look at me because of the sin in my life. But there's such a good verse that we got to come back with. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness. I need somebody to say righteousness. The righteousness of God in him. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. For us. We were born sinful, and God can't look upon sin, but his eyes are on the righteous every day. Every day. So God took all of my sin. He lifted it off of me. He bore it on himself that I could become the righteousness of God. And now his eyes are on us, the righteous. Those of us who have received his gift of salvation, his eyes are on us, the righteous. Something had to be done with our sin so that God could look upon us. And he did such an amazing job of laying our sin, our iniquity on his son and removing our transgressions. And not only can he look at me, here's some good news for you. He can walk with me. He can talk with me. He can have a relationship with me. Amen. We can have a relationship with him. And he's completely, completely removed our sin from us. And because I completely understand and believe that, then I am able to forgive anyone. And if you understand that, and if you believe that, then that allows you to be able to forgive anyone who has done you wrong as well. Again, because we've received that forgiveness fully. We've received his forgiveness freely, and so we can give each other, anyone, we can freely give them forgiveness as well. Now today, I know that I said it a little while ago that some of y'all have been hurt seriously. I mean, we've had some major cry sessions with some of y'all before. I remember one meeting with somebody and they said, I just need to share something with you. And I had no idea we were going to go that heavy in that meeting. Again, everybody's got a different situation. Everybody's got a different story. And you may say, Pastor Gene, I don't know how I could ever forgive them because of what he's done for us. Because we ask for his forgiveness, because he freely gives it to us, our response has to be to freely give that person forgiveness. It has to be. It has to be. But I need you to hear me today. They're like, you may be thinking, but you don't know what they did to me. You're right. But I saw what was done to Jesus. For me and for you. And I want you to understand this, that by forgiving that person, you need to hear me right now. By forgiving that person, you are not saying that what they did to you was okay. You are not saying that they were justified to do what they did to you. You are not putting anyone's seal of approval on it. By forgiving them, you're simply saying, God, I'm doing what your word says. I'm not taking revenge. I'm giving it to you. I'm releasing it. And Father, you can take care of it. Lord, I'm going to allow you to take care of it. What we read earlier in Romans. We're told that we don't deal with this. That we give it to him and we let him deal with it. I want you to know something. He cares. Maybe in your situation, you've just thought to yourself, well, you know, he's got so much going on with the world and everybody else, and does he even care about what was done? He cares. He's seen every tear that you shed in that situation. He knows every thought that's crossed your mind about that situation, and he cares. God did not like it when someone did something wrong to you either, because you're his child. And he loves you more than you will ever, 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 ever know. And so today we must forgive. I want you to understand that bitterness can absolutely destroy your life. Some have just chosen to hold on to bitterness. It will destroy your life. Bitterness is like drinking poison, thinking that it's going to kill the other person. It doesn't work that way, y'all. It doesn't work that way at all. So we've got to forgive. And again, because of what Jesus has done for us, for forgiving us, then we can forgive others as well. If we will receive his forgiveness freely, we can give forgiveness freely as well. Holy Spirit, today I just ask that you, Lord, show us anyone that we need to forgive. Lord, we can't say thank you enough for what you've done for us. Lord, for not constantly bringing it up. Lord, I love the fact that words such as, I may forgive, but I won't forget. Lord, that's not even in your vocabulary. But Father, our transgressions, they're as far as the east is from the west, God. And so Lord, today we come to you. And Father, I know that there's a lot of folks in here hurting right now because of what's been done to them. And Lord, my prayer is that today they freely give forgiveness and they release these people to you. And Father, what you're going to do as a result, Lord, is you're going to begin the healing process on the inside of them.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.